Welcome to the Bedford First Assembly of God podcast. We hope you enjoy this week's message. We'd love to hear what God is doing through this ministry. If you have a story to share, send us an email at connect@bedfordfirstag.org. Also, feel free to visit our website at bedfordfirstag.org. You can view the live stream of our services and find out more about our church. Thanks for listening.
Well, we're going to take another step in the Christian life this morning. This is the eighth trait, if you will, of the Christian life. I'm deciding whether or not we're going to pull out any others, but I am just trying to listen to the Lord. But this one's an important one. I think they're all important, actually, but this is very important. Even in regard to the presence of Gideon here today, I know that this, well, it'll stay right in character. If you have your Bibles, Acts chapter 5, verse 17 through 20, let me read that. The high priest and all the associates who were members of the party of the Sadducees were filled with jealousy. They arrested the apostles and put them in public jail. But during the night, an angel of the Lord opened the doors of the jail and brought them out. "Go, stand in the temple courts," he said, "and tell the people all about this new life." I love that. The angel of the Lord redispatched the apostles. "Don't need you in jail. We need you out on the streets. We need you in the temple. We need you in the places where the people are at." And that is a characteristic of the Christian life: to be about witnessing. I'll let it catch on. Today we're going to look at the eighth trait of the Christian's life as witnessing. I'm going to lose this. Whenever I'm standing up here thinking about being hot, it's time to take the coat off. D.L. Moody, one of the great evangelists, pastors, teachers, founder of Moody Bible Institute in Chicago, still there today. After ministering in the 1800s, he made this statement. He said, "I believe that if an angel were to wing his way from earth to heaven and were to say that there was one poor, ragged boy without father or mother, with no one to care for him and teach him the way of life, and if God were to ask who among them were willing to come down to this earth and live for 50 years and lead that one to Jesus Christ, every angel in heaven would volunteer to go. Even Gabriel, the one who stands in the presence of the Almighty, would say, 'Let me leave my high and lofty position and let me have the luxury of leading one soul to Jesus Christ.' There is no greater honor than to be the instrument in God's hands of leading one person out of the kingdom of Satan into the glorious light of heaven." Amen. If you're a Christian this morning, one of the first and primary goals of your life should be to lead somebody to Jesus. I want to draw a distinction this morning, though. There is in the scripture an expression of two paths of sharing the gospel. These two are described with two words. The first is evangelist. It will be listed in there. Last week's passage in 2 Timothy, Paul said to Timothy, "Do the work of an evangelist." This is the words, evangelistas. It means a messenger of good, a preacher of the gospel. So that is telling the story of the gospel. There is a second, which is translated as witness. The Greek word is martus or martyr. It is the Greek derivative of our word martyr, which literally means dying for your faith. One who can or does confirm what he has seen and or knows. I'm telling you this morning that I believe every Christian should be a witness. Whether or not you are strong enough in your capability of delivering to actually move to be an evangelist, to go out and to speak the word of God, sometimes there's a lot of intimidation that goes along with that. It's difficult. You can go with purpose, and when you get up against a difficult person, you forget everything you know. And you stand there totally and completely dependent upon the Holy Spirit. But He's gracious, and He will fill your mouth with words. But I know many a Christian who has tried to step in and be an evangelist, a preacher of the gospel, if you will, to someone, and got all tangled up and gave up the process and said, I just can't do that. It's just not me. I believe with all of my heart that the second of being a witness is one that every single Christian can be involved with. Because it is simply telling what has happened to you. This is where I was. Here's where I am. This is where I'm going. I believe that the Holy Spirit and His presence inside of us empowers us, enables us to be witnesses for our Lord. But I will tell you, it has to begin with having the experience. You have to know the Lord before you can be a witness for the Lord. That takes me to the next thing. A Christian is a witness. Many times we put this into the framework, we say a Christian should witness. We'll have training classes and all of this to actually lead people back to be an evangelist. And that is to propagate or to preach or to teach the gospel, to give people the message of the gospel. But the fact is, if you have met Christ as your Savior, you immediately have all the information that you need to be a witness. I say it again, every Christian is a witness. Now, before I go any farther, we need to qualify that, because if every Christian is a witness, either you are witnessing for the Lord or you're witnessing for your humanity. That's it. Either you are reflecting before the world the change that has occurred inside of you, bringing you into a new kingdom rather than the kingdom of this world, that you are now a citizen of the kingdom of God. Christ is your Savior, your King, your Lord. He is making the decisions of your life. Come on. Or He's not. See, too many people accept the title, many times a title that was given to them because they prayed some kind of a prayer. But in fact, there has been no transformation in their life. There has not been a real decision to leave a life of sin and to follow after Christ. You will not be a witness for Christ if you are still on a journey of your humanity. It is when your spirit has been transformed by His Spirit. Paul calls it a new creation in Christ Jesus. Now, I'm not the only one who said this, because Jesus said there were going to be many, many people who are going to come up to the judgment bar with the assumption that they are Christians because they said to Him, Lord, Lord. They even offered prayers in His name. But His statement to them will be, I never knew you. In other words, we had no relationship. The challenge of this morning is that if we are not a witness for Christ, we are not Christians. Quiet in here now. If the world looking on at our lives, others looking on at our journey, do not see a reflection of Jesus Christ in us, then we really are not Christians. Christian means Christ-like. It's the definition of the word. Christ was always a reflection of the Father, to the point where he said to his disciples, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. When he prayed his high priestly prayer in John chapter 17, he said, Father, I have given them everything that you have given to me. What a confident statement. I have given them everything. I have shown them your presence, your power, your person, your desire. Folks, that's what Christians are all about. We are witnesses of the transforming power of the blood of Christ. You can take these elements every single week, every single day of the week, from here to eternity, and there be absolutely no change in you. There is an inward change that says, Lord Jesus, you died on the cross for my sins. I'm a sinner. I want you to come into my heart, take away my sin, and change my life. And if you pray that prayer believing that he died for your sins, and you say, from this day forward, I'm on a new journey, you will be a witness. Why? Because a Christian is a giver. A Christian is free. A Christian is full of love. A Christian is a servant. A Christian is filled with praise. A Christian prays. And a Christian is a student and studies. Sound familiar? The allergies. One of these days I'm going to leave this body behind. I'm not even going to say goodbye. Why? Why is a Christian a witness? Why is this a mandate? Why is it just part of being a Christian to be a witness? Because he's the real thing. Let me explain that. Anytime someone is the real thing, they are a witness to that thing. Let me give you an easy example. When a woman bears a child, she becomes a mom or a mother. Right? Nobody can take that away from her. It's what she is. She is and will be a witness to that fact that she is a mother. What's interesting is, I don't know too many. There are a few that are tangled up in their minds and what have you that are ashamed of the fact that they would be a mother. But for the most part, okay, most women, when they have a child, they are extremely proud of the fact that they are a mother. Guys, I don't want to leave you out, so I will put it in this way. If a man practices the sport of fishing, he is a fisherman. And if he is a fisherman and there is an opportunity to talk about fishing, he will talk about fishing. If he is a golfer and there is an opportunity for him to talk about golfing, he'll tell you all about golfing. Come on. If you were a Christian and the real thing, you're going to talk about, it's going to come out of you. A Christian simply releases the reality of who they are in Christ and what he has done for them. You know, that is going to work tomorrow. If there is something in this time of being together or this weekend that blessed you, moved you spiritually, you wouldn't be ashamed. You'd find somebody to tell, whether they were Christian, whether or not a Christian, and talk to them about what has happened to you. I've had occasion, and I try to take every occasion possible, with businessmen and even city leaders and things like that, to occasionally have lunch with them. I don't ask them, can we talk about spiritual things? If it's a city person, normally we will talk, reflect upon whatever the reason is that they wanted to sit with me. But then I will talk about what is most important to me, of how the Spirit of God is moving, how God wants to take the city, of how he wants to help those who are hurting, because that's just his nature. And sometimes they will sit there wide-eyed and it's like not knowing how to jump into the conversation. And maybe if during their presentation time they threw in expletives along the way, because that happens as well. And all of a sudden they get very quiet. I'm not sitting there opening up my Bible and preaching the gospel to them. I'm just witnessing of what the Lord Jesus has done in Bill McKee's life, not Reverend William E. McKee Jr.'s life, not Pastor Bill's life, but Bill McKee's life, of what he has done inside of me and what he's doing every single moment of every single day. Don't get around me if you don't want to hear about Jesus. Not because I'm a preacher, but because I'm a Christian. I like this. I found this. Woodrow Wilson, president of the United States, but this took place before he was president. Speaking at Princeton University, he said, in a very plebeian place, I was in a barber shop, sitting in a chair when I became aware that a personality had entered the room. A man had come in quietly upon the same errand as myself and sat in the chair next to me. Every word he uttered, though it was not in the least didactic, showed a personal and vital interest in the man who was serving him. And before I got through with what was being done to me, I was aware that I had attended an evangelistic service, because Mr. Moody was in the next chair. I purposely lingered in the room after he left and noted the singular effect his visit had had upon the barbers in that shop. They talked in undertones. They did not know his name, but they knew that something had elevated their thought, and I felt that I left that place as I should have left a place of worship. Why? Because that man came in and sat in that barber chair and just let out what was inside of him. Come on, Christians. Come on. Is it fair? Is it fair to a lost world that we who have been transformed by the blood of Christ, we who have the hope of everlasting life, that we should keep that down inside of us? He said, but oh, I can't say it in flowery words. Please don't say it in flowery words. please do not try to coldly speak scriptures to people. They don't understand that. But what they can understand is for you to say, I was lost. I was a mess. I was empty. I was without. And I came to know Jesus Christ. And you wouldn't believe what he has done inside of me. Not only has he taken my sin away and lifted the burden of that sin off of me, but he gave to me his Holy Spirit, who is constantly speaking inside of me and helping me on my journey. He's concerned about my every step in my life. Everything that concerns me concerns him. My Bible tells me that he is ever interceding for me before the throne of God. Hallelujah. Oh, I got to move on. You don't have to tell a Christian to witness. This is not a sermon this morning to try to crowbar you into witnessing. You're either one or you're not. And I'm talking about a Christian. You're either a Christian or you're not. If you're a Christian, you will witness. If you're not, you won't. Pretty good checkup. If all the people that you live with, your family members, your friends, the people you work with, have no idea that you are a Christian, you're not one. I say that with all confidence, because if the Spirit of the Lord is down inside of you, you have to let him come forth. John 7:38 says, whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him. It's either in there or it's not. If it's in there, it's going to come out. Come on. Perhaps we should wear a button or a sign around our neck that says, caution. I am a Christian. If you don't want to hear about my Jesus, don't get near me. How many believe what I'm saying this morning? Ralph Williams says, we do not stand in the world bearing witness to Christ. We stand in Christ bearing witness to the world. Think about it. Some of us, we take on a relationship with Christ as though it's an extra appendage that we are either ashamed of or proud of. Like, I got a third arm now. I could use one of those sometimes, third arm. That's what a lot of people treat their faith experience. It's like it's a third arm, another eye. Huh? Some of you moms have eyes in the back of your head. Jesus here in verse number 39 clarifies that he's speaking of the Spirit. He says, by this he meant the Spirit whom those who believed in him would later receive. It's happened. Day of Pentecost, fully come, filled with the Spirit. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses. He doesn't say, you could be. If you got the right personality, huh? Not right now. I'll be happy to answer your questions later. The Spirit's presence in a true Christian's life is a given. Acts 2:38, Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God shall call. That's us. He wants to save you. He wants to fill you with his Spirit. And when he saves you and fills you with his Spirit, look out, because streams of the Spirit will flow out of you. Acts 9, then Ananias went to the house and entered it, placing his hands on Saul, and said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit. The Apostle Paul, Peter, John, all of them took the same route are given the same opportunity that you and I have been given. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is the Spirit that wants to come and live inside of us. And when His Spirit comes, He wants to flow. You know, Paul said, quench not the Spirit. I wonder how often, if we are believers, how often we quench the flow of the Spirit out of our lives. We're in the midst of conversation, and He, by His Spirit, speaks to us and says, just tell Him. Tell Him what's happened to you. Give witness. Whoa. Whoa. I don't want to offend them. Offend them? To tell them the way of life? To tell them the transformation that has occurred inside of us? And we're worried about offending somebody? Oh, they might make fun of me. Make fun of you? They crucified Jesus. They spit on Him. They beat Him with fists. They put a crown of thorns on His head, nails in His hands and in His feet. Thrust a spear into Him that pierced the pericardium around His heart, and blood and water flowed from it. And we're worried because somebody may speak something negative against us. You see, a Christian really realizes what it took for them to become a Christian. To the point where any suffering is a good day, because it gives us identification with the One who has redeemed us. By the way, when we are gathered around the throne and they're looking for someone to open the book of end times, and they look all over heaven and they can't find anyone, and then here comes the Lamb who has been slain and takes His place on the throne, and He is worthy to receive the book and to open the scroll thereof. He's worthy. If you are a Christian, He's worthy of anything that you may have to take on His behalf. Listen to the believer's prayer in Acts chapter 4, verse 29. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable Your servants to speak Your word with great boldness. Stretch out Your hand to heal and perform miraculous signs and wonders through the name of Your holy servant Jesus. And after they had prayed this prayer, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. You know, we want to pray, Lord, come, bless us, give us another refreshing, give us more, 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 more. That's not their prayer. They said, Lord, anoint us as we go out and give witness of what You've already done in our lives. Pour out Your Spirit upon us, Lord, that as we give witness, that lives would be changed, people would be healed, miracles would be done, because You have come into us. Anybody in this house been transformed by the blood of Jesus? You see, here's the fact. The Spirit of God cannot be contained. I'll say it again. The Spirit of God cannot be contained. One more time. The Spirit of God cannot be contained. Yeah, you're learning. It's true. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And there is power. So if the Spirit of God is down inside of us, look out. It's going to come flowing out like streams of living water will flow from within. You'll actually find yourself going, ooh, wow, I witnessed. Ooh, didn't intend to do that. How'd that conversation make a turn in that direction? Ooh, wow. Before you know it, what's down inside will begin to come out of the abundance of the heart. The mouth speaks. And all of a sudden, you'll find, here you are talking to somebody about the transformation that God has made in your life and how glorious it is to serve the Lord. And you'll get up from that conversation, and maybe they're setting their eyeballs or rolling around inside their heads. And you'll walk away from there and you go, whoa, man, I didn't plan to go to that extent. to be used of God. Church, when we open our mouths, who we are is going to flow out. We said, of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. What's in abundance in your heart? You and everyone else will soon find out what is the most important thing in your life when you open your mouth. I like this. David Brainerd, a great preacher, had spent 7 unsuccessful years preaching when he came to his post at Crosswick, New Jersey, in June 1745. His ministry among the Indians there began as others had ended, with few in attendance and little interest shown. He wished himself elsewhere. I like that. Then one day he preached to a few women and children. They went a great distance and shared their joy in the Lord Jesus. Thus began a 9-month revival. The converts of one day would repeatedly return to their unsafe friends and bring them to the very next meeting. In the end, 90 Indians were baptized, and it all started with a few women and children. Whose lives were transformed, and they went and got somebody else and said, you've got to hear this message. Lastly, this morning, I was in there too. It helps to stay on top of this, doesn't it? A witness of the past. Witnesses of the past stand as our example. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, it says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. I will say to you this morning, I'm very thankful for the witness of my mom and dad. There we go. My mom and dad were not preachers. They did not walk through our house quoting scriptures. As a matter of fact, I can't ever remember hearing them walk through the house ever quoting scriptures. But they lived as witnesses of the transforming power of Jesus. And I can't speak for my sister, but it had an incredible effect upon my life. Because I saw what Christianity was. I saw their humanity. I saw the mistakes, the struggles, the difficulties that they had. But I also saw two individuals who were purposely pursuing Jesus. They were sacrificing in service. They were praying. I learned the importance of prayer, not from Bible school, not from a preacher, but from my mom, who's up every morning praying for me. We not stand in the world bearing witness to Christ. We stand in Christ bearing witness to the world. Are you in Christ? are you really a Christian? What effect spiritually is your life just in your living? What effect is that having on the people around you? It should be having an effect. There's the one, Samuel Chadwick. We do not argue about worldliness, we witness. We do not discuss philosophy, we preach the gospel. We do not speculate about the destiny of sinners, we pluck them like brands from the burning. See, too many Christians and the church itself today has gotten caught up in politics and all of this other garbage, and we're forgetting who we are and what is important in our lives. And so it's clouding the issue. People will not, they don't want to hear about the truth of the gospel because we're so caught up in wanting to convince them. If you haven't learned this yet, we are not going to legislate morality. The hearts of men will only be changed by the blood of Jesus Christ, not by force. It's not going to happen. Now, that's not to say that we do not use our opportunity to vote and some of these things, but listen, when they are focusing on us as Christians and as the church, God help us if what they're thinking about us is what party that we vote for. What they should be realizing is what God we serve and what He has done for us. May the world just be consumed with the knowledge and understanding that there is hope in the Lord Jesus, and may they get that from us. I've shared this in the past, I believe, but I share it one more time. You know, when you are given an opportunity to speak in a new platform of some sort, they will always have what's called a sound check. And they want every speaker, every singer, to have their moment standing with microphone in hand so that the sound people in the back can get a sound level so that when that person steps up and takes the mic, they're not fishing around looking for the right sound, but they can nail it right on. And so people are given that opportunity. They will 1-2, test 1-2, all kinds of things like that. Billy Graham habitually, that means every time he was ever given the opportunity for sound check, you remember his life, every time said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Whether it was a sound check with him and just one other guy in the room, or whether there was masses of people, he chose one thing: I'm going to tell them about Jesus. Who might be listening? I can remember sitting and watching on occasion the Johnny Carson show late at night, and Billy Graham would come on there. There was never a time that he did not let the witness come out. Whatever they were talking about, the witness of the Lord Jesus would begin to come out. So, whoa, he was Billy Graham. No, he was a Christian. It's what Christians do. They tell what Christ has done in their lives. You know, we gather in this place, as we will hear in a moment, at this table. And this is a witness. If you do not know Christ as your Savior, you should not take the elements of communion. Paul states in the 11th chapter of 1 Corinthians, very serious, God is very serious about who takes the elements. It says, individuals have eaten and drank damnation upon themselves because they take this lightly. That's not me. That's what the Word of God says. So this is witness time. As you have an opportunity to take the elements, you come and you take them, and you are a witness to those around you that you believe in the broken body and the shed blood of Christ. But can I tell you this morning, the people that need it the most are outside these walls. If you're a Christian this morning, it should be slipping out. It should be pouring out. I don't say this in any way. Please know, I'm not trying to put a heavy load on you. This is just an opportunity for us to identify what's really going on inside of us. If you know Jesus as your Savior, that relationship is going to come out. We do not stand in the world bearing witness to Christ. We stand in Christ bearing witness to the world. You don't have to tell a Christian to witness. Streams of living water will flow out of him. The witnesses of the past stand as our example. It works. It works. It works. It works. We're here today because someone else witnessed in the past. Father in heaven, I thank you this morning that you have granted to us the awareness of our emptiness without you. But also you have laid out before us a path for forgiveness of our sins and a life abundant and everlasting. Master, I pray that everyone in this house who calls themselves a Christian would examine themselves this morning to know, is there enough in me that wants to come out? Am I holding it back, or does it not exist? If there is no spirit within me, then Lord, transform us this morning. Save us. Heal us. But may there be enough of your spirit down inside of us that out of the abundance of our hearts, our mouth will speak. That the world can know that you transform a life. Help us this morning, even as we approach this table, to realize the simplicity of witness. It can be a little piece of bread and a little cup of juice, or it could be a word fitly spoken at the right time of what you have done in our lives. Bless your word to our hearts this morning in Jesus' name. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Would you help me this morning with communion? Okay. Can you help me? Okay. If you'd like to give witness to your faith, just stand at the head of that aisle right there. Come on up and receive the elements of communion. Hold them if you would, and we will take them together after everyone's been served.
We are standing on hold. Let us praise. Jesus now, as we are standing in His presence on holy ground. We are standing on holy ground.
Praise you, Lord.
Can I ask you if you would stand with me, please, this morning? On the night that our Lord was betrayed, He took the bread and broke it and gave it to His disciples. And He said this, "Take, eat, this is My body that is broken for you." And then He made a proclamation, "Do this in remembrance of Me." Not going into all the words there, but it could very well have been written, "Do this as a witness of Me." This is our opportunity as we gather together as a people of faith to say, "I believe that Jesus has taken my sins away." Amen?
Amen.
But not only that, by His stripes, that tearing away of His flesh, we are healed. There's some big needs in this room. Jimmy, by His stripes we are healed. Hallelujah. Come on, church. You realize how much hope there is in that? You know? Just how much hope there is when somebody says, oh, you know, this is happening. I've got this cancer. I've got this tumor. I've got this happening in my life. And you and I, who are witnesses of the Lord Jesus, say, hold on a minute. The story is not fully written. By his stripes, we are healed. They may look at you kind of funny, but you see, that's the reality that we have in us. Amen? Would you help me thank him for the bread this morning that's a reminder of this to us? Father in heaven, we thank you this morning that you gave us Jesus. But we thank you that you gave us this bread. That on occasion, month by month, we can take this bread and hold it in our hand as a witness of a fact. A fact that Jesus' body was broken for our healing. He was wounded for our transgressions. Bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. What a promise we carry within us as Christians. We stand here today thankful for this bread, thankful for the body that it represents, and we receive today all the benefit of the body of Jesus as we take this bread in Jesus' name. Church, take the bread with me today. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to your name, Master. Praise you, Master. Come on, church. If you believe that all things are possible to him who believes. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you for this cup. This cup that Jesus lifted and said, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. As often as you eat the bread and drink the cup, you show my death until I come. Thank you, Lord, for this witness. Thank you for this cup. Thank you for the blood that was shed to cover my sins, to reconcile me with the Father, to justify me in his presence. To set me on a course of sanctification, of moving forward in holiness before you. Thank you for the confidence of this cup today. I proclaim it as the song says, what can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Thank you today for the witness of this cup. Thank you for allowing me to be a Christian. One like my Jesus. Bless us today, Lord, as we lift this cup in Jesus' name. Church, take the cup. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Could I invite you just to lift up your hands and thank him this morning for what he has done inside of you? Come on, let it out, church. Let it out. Let the Spirit of the Lord out. Come on, lift it up before the Lord. Fill this place with praise and thanksgiving to the Lord. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving me. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for being the confidence when I'm hurting and when I'm sick that I can come to you. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for being there for me when I need you the most. Help us now, Lord, to be there for you as we leave this house to a world who needs to know There is hope in you. Bless you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Thank you, Master, for the privilege of witness. Thank you for the privilege of being called a Christian. Go with us now in hope rejoicing in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Bless you, bless you, bless you.